Canto 4, Chapter 24, The Song Sung by Lord Shiva. Maitreya said, "The son of Prithu, who because of his great actions became known as Vijitashva, became emperor and gave his younger brothers, he cared a lot about, the rule over the different directions of the world. The master offered Hariyaksha the eastern part. The south he offered to Dhumarakesha. The western side was for the brother with the name Vrika, and the northern direction he gave to Dravina. He who, from what he did in relation to Indra, also was honored with the name Antardhana, begot in his wife Shikandini three children, who carried the approval of everyone. They were named Pavaka, Pavamana, and Shuchi. They, in the past, had been the gods of fire, but now, because of a curse of sage Vasishtha, had taken birth again in order to regain that status by the progress of yoga. Antardhana, who did not kill Indra, despite the fact that he knew that he had stolen the horse of his father, begot in his wife, named Nabasvati, a son called Havirdhana. The taxes, punishments, and fines and such that make up the livelihood of kings, he considered something very severe, and therefore he abolished them in favor of sacrifices that in the past had been given up. Despite being committed to the duty of ending the distress of others, he, as a realized soul, always keeping to his ecstasy, by the worship of the original person, easily attained his abode, the supreme of the soul. Havirdhani, the wife of Havirdhana, O Vidura, gave birth to six sons named Barishat, Gaya, Shukla, Krishna, Satya, and Jitavrata. He who by Havirdhana was named Barishat was so fortunate in his ritualistic actions and yoga realization that he was considered the Prajapati, or best of the Kurus. With this practice, continually pleasing the gods with sacrifices, he all over the world kept the Kushai grass facing the east. On the advice of the god of gods, Brahma, he married the daughter of the ocean named Shatadruti. The moment the fire god Agni saw her, youthful and charming in all her limbs, circumambulating his fire during the marriage ceremony, he felt himself as attracted as he formerly was to Shuki. The scholars, the ones of desire, the souls of heaven, the sages and the perfected souls, the ones of the earth and those of the snakes, were all captivated by the tinkling alone of the new bride's ankle bells that could be heard everywhere. From Prachinabari, or Barishat, 10 sons appeared in the womb of Shatadruti, who, all deeply vowed to the Dharma, together were called the Prachetas. By their father, ordered to beget children, they fled from home and settled, for their austerity, for 10,000 years near a large lake, in order to worship the master of all penance, Sri Hari, with their tapas. Following that path, they encountered Lord Shiva, who, very pleased with the great command of their meditation, mantra practice and worship, spoke to them. Vidura asked, "O Brahmin, please clarify what happened when the Prachetas met Lord Shiva on their path, as also what the Lordship, who was so pleased with them, has said." "O best among the scholars, in this world, being caught in a physical body, it rarely happens that one finds association with Lord Shiva. Even sages, who, with him as their object of desire, fully detached, are engaged in meditation, fail in this. Although he is satisfied within himself, the great Lord Shiva, when he manifests in this world for the fulfillment of her wishes, engages with the terror of the forces controlling her." Maitreya said, the sons of Father Prachinabari, all in full surrender, accepting the words of their father piously on their heads, had, serious in their hearts about doing penances, left in the western direction. They reached a very large expanse of water as vast as the nearby ocean, with water that, as clear as the mind of a great soul, constituted a pleasure to its inhabitants. In that water, a multitude of red and blue, Kalara and Indivara lotuses was found, and swans, cranes, ducks, chakravakas, and other birds like Karandavas vibrated their sounds there. Mad bumblebees joyfully hummed there loudly with their little hairy bodies. It was a festival of creepers, trees, and lotuses, the pollen of which, by the wind, was spread in all directions. All the princes were amazed about the beautiful, heavenly music accompanied by drums and kettledrums that could be heard there continually. That very moment they witnessed how the chief of the demigods, Lord Shiva, came out of the water, accompanied by an association of great souls who glorified him. Seeing his golden hue, his bodily features, his blue throat, three eyes and merciful, beautiful face, they all aroused, filled with admiration, offered their obeisances. He who dispels all dangers, the great lord and caretaker of the religion, then talked to them, pleased as he was with their observance of the principles in the past, their gentle behavior, and their good manners. Rudra said, O all of you sons of King Prachinabari, knowing your actions and desires, I wish you all the best, and in order to prove you my mercy, I therefore grant you my audience. Any living being, any individual soul, someone says, who surrenders directly to Vasudeva, the Supreme Lord and Transcendental Controller of the Three Modes, is very dear to me. When someone for the time of 100 lives is fixed on his duty, he acquires the position of Brahma, and when he also does not fail to serve the Supreme Lord, he thereafter will attain me. Devotees of Lord Vishnu, at the end of time, attain a position like the one of me and the other demigods. You, devotees, are for that reason as dear to me as the Supreme Lord himself, just as apart from him there is no one else as dear to the devotees as I am. In particular, this what I am going to tell you now is what you always should attend to and repeat for yourselves, for it is very pure, auspicious, transcendental, and beneficial. Maitreya said, with a heart full of compassion, Lord Shiva, the greatest devotee of Narayana, spoke the following words to the princes who with folded hands stood before him. Sri Rudra said, in worship of Vasudeva, All glories unto you, the best of all self-realized souls, who brings happiness for the welfare of all. Let there be my obeisances unto you, for you are the all-perfect and worshipable soul of all. The Supersoul. All my respects unto you, Vasudeva, from whose navel the lotus sprouted. You are the source of the senses and the sense objects and the immutable self-illumined state that is of an eternal peace. I offer my obeisances also to you in the form of Sankarsana, who is the origin of the subtle, non-manifest matter, is the unsurpassable master of disintegration at the end of time, and to the master of all development, the soul in the beyond Pradyumna. All glories to you, I offer my respects again unto you as Aniruddha, the master and director of the senses. My obeisances unto the Supreme One of perfect purity and completeness, who stands apart from this material creation. Unto you as the heavenly abode, the path of liberation, the gateway of the eternal and the purest of the pure, my obeisances. All my respects I offer unto you, the golden seamen, who are the continuity of the Vedic sacrifices. Be praised, O you, who invigorate the ancestors and the gods, O master of the three Vedas and the sacrifices. You are the leading deity of the moon, who pleases everyone. All my respects unto you, the Supersoul pervading all living beings. The strength and power of all that exists, the body and transcendental self of the diversity of the material world, and the maintainer of the three worlds, I offer my obeisances. All glories to you, who, as the eater, reveal the meaning, you, the within and without of the self, the supreme effulgence. My obeisances unto you, as the beyond of death and the purpose of all pious activities. Unto the inclining, as also disinclining, God of the forefathers, unto you, as the final outcome of all fruitive action, and as death itself, you, the cause of all sorts of misery resulting from irreligion, I offer my respects. Because you are the topmost bestower of benedictions, the mastermind of all mantras, the causal self, I offer you my respects. All glory to you as the greatest of all religiosity, and to you, Krishna, who are the perfection of intelligence. You are the oldest of the old, the original personality and master of yogic analysis, the reservoir of the three energies, the reason of the material identification of the soul, named Rudra, and the embodiment of knowledge, intention, and the voice of all powers, I offer my obeisances. Please show us who desire your presence, the form that, to the satisfaction of all the senses of the devotees, is worshipped by them as the dearmost. As glistening as the rain from the dense clouds during the rainy season, you are the summit of all beauty. Beautiful are the features of your four-handed form. Of the greatest is your pleasant face. Your eyes are as beautiful as the petals in the whorl of a lotus flower. Beautiful are your eyebrows, straight nose, shining teeth, high forehead, and the full decoration of your face, and equally beautiful, perfect ears. The beauty of your merciful smile and sidelong glances, your curly hair and clothing in the saffron color of the lotus, is supported by the glittering earrings and shiny helmet, the bangles, necklace, ankle bells, belt, conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower, garland, and the best of pearls that make you look still more beautiful. The shoulders under your coils of hair that are like those of a lion, and your neck, fortunate of bearing the jewel glittering on your chest, give you a never-decreasing beauty that exceeds the beauty of the streaks of gold on every norm or touchstone. Your inhaling and exhaling stirs beautifully the folds in your belly that looks like a banana leaf, and the whirling depression of your navel is like the spiraling of the galaxy. The dark color of the skin below your waist is extra attractive with the beauty of your dress and golden belt, as also with, lower situated, the great symmetrical beauty of your lotus feet, calves, and thighs. By the so pleasing lotus feet, that are like the petals of a lotus flower in autumn, by the effulgence of your nails, you drive away all the trouble agitating us. Show us the path of your lotus feet that reduce the fear of material existence, O teacher, O spiritual master of all who suffer the darkness. They who, performing their occupational duties, wish to purify themselves and live without fear, must meditate on this form of yours in a devotional practice of yoga. Your grace is easily obtained by the devotees, but for all other embodied souls you are difficult to reach, even for those belonging to the King of Heaven Indra, or for the self-realized souls whose ultimate goal it is to attain oneness with you. What else would one desire but your lotus feet, once one by pure devotional service has been of the worship that even for the most virtuous is difficult to attain? The invincible time, by which you, in your prowess and majesty, with simply raising your eyebrows, vanquish the entire universe, constitutes no threat to a soul of complete surrender. Even but for a moment, enjoying the association of a company of devotees cannot compare with heaven or with merging, not to mention worldly blessings. Let therefore us, who, in order to wash away the ruminations of sin, dip in and step out of the Ganges, be the mercy and virtue of this association. For this association with the glorification of your feet defeats all misfortune and blesses the normal living beings with the fullest goodness. He whose heart was purified by the blessing derived from entering that association of Bhakti Yoga will be very happy to find therein the wisdom of your way and will never end up bewildered in the dark pit of worldly influences. You are the Absolute Spirit, the transcendental light spread everywhere like the ether in whom this universe of the cosmic manifestation has appeared. You are the one who by his energy has created, maintains, and again annihilates this variegated manifestation. That eternal, unchanging intelligence of an increasing complexity is, so I understand, likely to give trouble to the individual soul in relation to you as the essential independent self, O Supreme Lord. Experts in the field of the Vedas and their corollaries are those transcendentalists who, for their perfection, with faith and conviction duly, by a wide range of organized actions, glorify you who are identified by that what is created by the senses and by the heart. You are the one original person from whose dormant energy the diversity of the totality of the material energy has originated that is ruled by the natural modes of passion, goodness and ignorance. It is a diversity we know as the ego, the sky, the air, the fire, the water and the earth, the virtuous souls, the sages and all the living beings. That what you created from your own potency you afterwards enter in the form of the four kinds of bodies. By these bodies, your own parts and parcels, you know the person as an enjoyer of the senses, like a bee that relishes the sweet honey. One may guess about the authority and order of your reality of time. All we see is how you, just like the wind scattering the clouds, with your so very great force of time, in the long run destroy all the planetary systems and how all living beings equally find their end because of external causes. The madmen of this world, most greedily delighting in material enjoyment, therefrom loudly exclaim what all should be done, but all of a sudden you, vigilantly as the destroyer, seize them just like a mouse is seized by the restless tongue of a hungry snake. Which educated person who knows that one, by not respecting you, only sees the useless decay of one's body, would reject your lotus feet, the feet that by our spiritual teacher Brahma and the 14 Manus after him were worshipped without hesitation or further arguing. You, therefore, are for us, man of wisdom, the supreme Brahman, the soul of the soul, the supersoul, the destination, where there is no fear at all for the destroyer Rudra, who is feared by the entire universe. If you pray like this and faithfully perform your duty, there will be happiness for all of you, O purified sons of the King, who have turned your minds to the Supreme Lord. Be of worship, and always think for and meditate full of praise on Him, who, as the Supreme Soul, is situated in both your hearts and the hearts of all other living beings. All of you, time and again, read this Yogadesha instruction of Yoga and close it in your heart. Take to the vow of the sages of always with intelligence being silently absorbed within and practice this with the greatest respect. This was first taught by the great Lord Brahma the master of the creators of the universe, of the great sages headed by Bhrigu, who, as his sons in charge of the world, were eager to create. We, who as the controllers of the people, were enjoined by him to procreate, were, by this instruction, freed from all ignorance, and thus could bring about the different kinds of people. The person who thus regularly repeats this to himself with great attention will, being absorbed in this, without delay, achieve the auspiciousness of being devoted to Vasudeva. Spiritual knowledge is, of all benedictions in this world, the supreme transcendental benefit of happiness for every person, because one with the boat of higher knowledge crosses over the insurmountable ocean of danger. Anyone who devotedly attached and with faith regularly studies this song of mine, this prayer offered to him, the Supreme Personality, will be able to please the Lord who is so difficult to praise. The person who is fixed on the song as sung by me can, by dint of him, the dearmost of all benedictions, by the Lord of the Beyond who is pleased by it, attain whatever he desires. The devotee, who, rising early in the morning, with faith and devotion folding his hands, is absorbed in this prayer, and thus personally listens and makes others listen to it, will be liberated from all karmic bondage. O sons of the King, by the intelligence of perfectly attentive praying and chanting this song I sang of the Supreme Person who is the Supersoul within everyone, you will ultimately achieve the results you desired, for that practice equals the greatest austerities.